February 27th, 2010 from Washington, D.C. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that I've hesitated to talk about, although I have a section up at the WayneMasterReport.com. But it's based on what we've seen happen today in Chile with this 8.8 earthquake, the seventh strongest earthquake recorded since they recorded such things. I think it's time to talk about something, and that's, are these earthquakes increasing in frequency around the world, and what could be the reason for it? I'm talking about this tonight because even MSNBC has now reported that the number of earthquakes worldwide have increased over the past 15 or so years. They're at an all-time high in frequency. And if those conspiracy theorists at MSNBC can talk about it, well, why can't we talk about it here? And that's what we're going to do tonight. It is true that the number of earthquakes have increased. And, of course, Chile is in this Pacific Ring of Fire, but we've seen a number of earthquakes within the Ring of Fire. Places like Fiji and Tonga and Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands, American Samoa. Look, they've had a problem with typhoons for a number of years, but earthquakes are not what you usually associate with the South Pacific Islands. And they've seen their fair share, and that's within the Ring of Fire. So maybe if that's natural, maybe they need to stop calling it the Ring of Fire and just call it, the basin, the Pacific Basin of Fire. But they've never called it that before. And we'll talk about whether the U.S. Geological Survey can be trusted to report on these earthquakes, because I will just flat out say that any federal agency that reports anything anymore, you've got to take it with a grain of salt. They basically obfuscate, they exaggerate, they underestimate, and the U.S. Geological Survey, being a government agency, is no different than all the other government agencies, the Department of Defense, the CIA. I've worked in the government. I've seen how little lies become big lies. But if it comes from the government, just rest assured one thing, it can't be believed. It just can't be believed. The government has basically shown us that, the U.S. government's not fit to govern. Let's just put it that way. They're not fit to govern because everything that comes out of the government is just unbelievable, not to be believed, whether we're talking about economic forecasts, unemployment numbers, or even the strength and frequency of earthquakes. We even know that they can't be trusted to even put out weather reports. I mean, that's how bad the government is right now. So we will talk about what happened in Chile today and what happened just a few hours before with a 7.0 Richter scale earthquake off of Okinawa. There was a tsunami warning issued for that. It was quickly taken down, but the Chilean earthquake did generate a tsunami. It looks like it's passed Hawaii with no major damage. It was about five waves came by, churned up some water in the harbor, but they're basically ready to give the all clear sign. There was some damage on Ventura Beach in California, Southern California, but it's by no means over. And we will be back with your calls and more about the quakes right after this short break. This is Wayne Master from Washington.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Master Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight, this February 27th, from Washington, D.C. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Well, the report's out of Chile, and I've heard from a reader of Wayne Master Report this evening from Santiago. There's massive damage. There's over 200 deaths. They're afraid people are trapped in the rubble. Again, eyewitnesses said that it felt like it was the end of the world. The scenes you'll see on the internet from Santiago, and there's very little information coming out from Concepcion, which is further to the south, where the basically where the earthquake first hit. The reports out of Concepcion are very spotty. Apparently, there's been a lot of damage in that particular city. But the scenes out of Santiago, which is some 200 miles away from the epicenter of this 8.8 magnitude earthquake, 500 times more powerful than the quake that struck Haiti last month. They look like scenes out of the movie 2012. Buildings collapsed, huge cracks in the roadway, collapsed bridges, collapsed overpasses, cars flipped over. I've just gotten a report that as dusk was beginning to settle in Santiago, there's reports of looting from the region. Very little information coming out of Concepcion, which is Chile's second largest city, but that was much closer to the quake. I think we're probably going to see the death toll, unfortunately, go much higher. President Obama said it looked like it was a few hundred, 200 or so dead. But I have a funny feeling that when the reports come in from the outlying areas, we're going to see many more deaths from this particular quake. I also would point out that this quake in Chile was felt as far away as Brazil. So we're talking about major shifts in the tectonic plates of the planet. This quake followed another one in Okinawa, 7.0, was just a few hours before, as I mentioned. This coming after the huge quake in Haiti that killed hundreds of thousands of people. Is this – look, you're not listening to Art Bell. This is not George Norrie. You're not listening to Coast to Coast. We're going to be talking about what's happening to the planet right now and whether is causing this. Is it a natural shift, or is there something else at play here? Anyway, I want to play this short clip. This is a clip about the Chilean earthquake, if we can spin this clip. This was a few hours old, but this was the first reports we got from Santiago, Chile.
Chile is now officially in a state of catastrophe. The earthquake that hit the south of the country has stunted communication, damaged buildings, and sparked tsunami warnings in 53 different countries. Hundreds of people are feared dead, but the official figure stands at around 150. Many more have been left homeless, injured or missing. The airport in the capital, Santiago, has been badly hit too. Air traffic's completely suspended. Thousands of tourists are stranded. Other forms of transport have also been affected. This flyover in Santiago has been rendered completely useless. For the time being, many Chileans are trying to contact their friends and family as the injured get their wounds tended to. In other parts of the world, precautions are being taken. Fears a devastating tsunami could strike at any moment are rife.
Okay, well, we do know that the tsunami, when it hit the Juan Fernandez Islands off of Chile, the reports are that the tsunami was 130 foot it was 130-foot high wall of water. Now, that is not certainly what hit, nothing like that hit any other islands. It did go by Easter Island. There's very little information coming out of there. But that's an amazing 130-foot wall of water. But I see we have Kevin coming in, calling in from Australia, and New Zealand, I think, has already been hit by the tsunami. I don't think there's been a whole lot of damage reported there. But Kevin, are you with us from Australia?
Yeah, I'm listening away. Yeah, I'm actually going swimming this morning, so I'm on the other side.
Well, you're on the other side, okay.
We're pretty right. But as far as the earthquakes are concerned, I can tell you now that they are increasing and they will go on increasing. And once they start, I mean, every day there are earthquakes in the California area. But once California starts to feel like a milkshake, then you can say, hey, you know, what's going on? Well, there's a document called Scripture.
Right, we can't forget the swarm of earthquakes that have been taking place in the Yellowstone area. Now, that's the Yellowstone caldera. 600,000 years ago, that caldera exploded in a huge mega volcano, which basically destroyed all living things in North America, and the scientists have stated that that can be expected to go off every 600,000 years. Well, it's 600,000 years later, and we're seeing an increase in what they call earthquake swarms in the Yellowstone area. So definitely there's something at play here all around the globe.
As for the financial recovery, which is just slightly off topic, I don't think there's going to be one. I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, there could be a financial recovery if all of the American people band together and said, okay, you know, what's actually the problem here? There are these group of thieves that are bleeding us dry.
Right.
We're going to put an end to that, and we're going to stop it from now. So the problem could be fixed pretty well overnight, but that's not going to happen because people are not like that. They're going to go on, and it's going to drag on, and the U.S. is going to go down into a quagmire. It's going to get hit by earthquakes. I happen to be a religious person, so to speak, and I believe in prophecy.
Yes.
And everything that's happening now has been set out in prophecy, and it's actually happening according to the timeline as it's been presented. So if it's been accurate all the way along, why should I not believe the last little bit when it presents the bad stuff that's coming?
Right. Well, you brought up the financial.
A whole, there's going to
go
be
ahead.
A whole lot more problems. The financial issues are not going to rectify themselves because people are not going to bite the bullet and actually get rid of the problem. So it's going to get worse and worse, and the government's, in this case, Obama, is just going to drag it on and on and on, and it's going to get worse, and, you know, people are going to start losing their houses, people are going to lose their, you know, their retirement funds, and when finally the food is not on the table in front of them, that's when they'll start to get upset, but by then it's probably going to be too late.
Right, and it's funny, well, you know, we're talking about this earthquake in Chile, a series of earthquakes recently, but the financial earthquake, we do know that Greece is now suffering on a big default on their debt. Spain is maybe next. Iceland is now saying they're not going to try to pay back those Anglo-Dutch banks. We're seeing a big pushback by governments like Greece, like Spain, Iceland, Portugal, and the latest I heard is that you, in Australia, you may be facing a big housing bubble bust because they're now saying that Australia may be the next country affected by this.
Well, I'm sure it'll happen because, like Australians, you know, we live in very nice houses. I've traveled around the US and Canada and what have you, and the housing in Australia, I think, is of a much higher quality than what you see most people living in the United States. Now, the housing, our jobs, you know, maybe we might get paid a little bit more, but the Australian homeowner is mortgage to the hilt. They're absolutely up. Their biggest expense is by far the home, and not, you know, it's a huge percentage of the weekly income. Now, when at the moment, you know, our economy really is not being affected by any of this at all, because we've got what the rest of the world wants, what China wants, and what everybody wants. So we've only got 22 million people. So, you know, there's plenty to go around as far as this country is concerned. But as soon as the brakes go on China, as soon as China cannot export to the US, and, you know, when the money dries up, well, then China's not going to require the raw materials. And then Japan and so on, and they're both big trading partners. What will happen is the brakes will go on, people will lose their jobs here, and that's when our housing bubble's going to hit. There's going to be for sale signs everywhere. I tell you what, we are not going to escape it. It's going to come our way, and when it hits, it's going to hit real hard.
Just like the tsunami that's heading your way. But anyway, Kevin, thanks for calling in from Australia, and it's good to hear from you. And it doesn't sound like you're going to have to head to higher ground, so keep on swimming down there. Thanks for calling in. Eddie's calling in from Cleveland. Eddie, are you with us?
Hello, Wayne.
Hi, Eddie.
Yeah. Hey, I was wondering, have you heard about this guy, Abdul Malik Riggi?
Oh, yes. I've reported on him this past week. Apparently, he was on his way to Kyrgyzstan to meet, he said this on Iranian TV, he was on his way to meet Mr. Big American, a big VIP, and it just so happens who was in Kyrgyzstan at the very same time was Richard Holbrooke, our President Obama's envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan. The question would be asked, why was Holbrooke meeting basically the head of a Baluchi terrorist movement?
Probably pure coincidence, you know. I mean, it's not like he was there with a plane load of weapons and a suitcase full of cash, let's say, to front some terrorists.
Hold on to that thought, Eddie. We'll be right back with you. We have a short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington, D.C. We'll be back right after this message.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, coming in live tonight, this February 27th from Washington. And we're talking to Eddie in Cleveland, and the subject was the Iranian capture of the Baluchi terrorist leader of the Jundallah movement, Abdul Malik Riggi. Go ahead, Eddie. You were saying something about coincidences there.
Yeah, well, it has to be a coincidence. It's not like this guy, Richard Holbrooke, Under Secretary of State for the United States, would happen to go to a base where some terrorists happened to go to the same base, and that Mr. Holbrooke there happens to have $400 million and, you know, a plane load of weapons, you know. I mean, after all, the U.S. would never do that. It's not like there is a... how should we say, a history of the United States doing this, you know, in Honduras or Colombia or Venezuela or Vietnam or Korea or anything like
that. Yeah.
That has to be coincidence.
Right, oh, of course. And, that, you know, that's walking around money for Mr. Holbrooke. You know, he specializes, basically, his track record in Yugoslavia, he specializes in breaking up nation states. So it's quite obvious here he's supporting a Baluchi secessionist terrorists. It's quite clear that it's in the game plan of the United States to break up Pakistan into, you know, Baluchistan and other countries, and certainly that's what I think they have in mind for Iran, because it's not just the Baluchis that are getting that that walking around money. It's the Kurds in the north. It's the Arabs in Khuzestan near the oil producing areas of Iran, the Azerbaijanis up in the north. So, yeah, this is what Holbrooke's up to, and I think it's clearly time to see these people for what they really are. There is absolutely no difference between these Bush people and these Obama people. They're the same people who have this agenda, this global agenda, and they just destroy nation states when they decide to at a conference somewhere, whether it's at Davos or it's at Bilderberg. But this is how these things are conducted these days, in secret, and they have this long-term agenda.
Wayne, did you notice the wall-to-wall coverage of this story on all the mainstream media?
The Riggy capture by Iran.
Yes, did you notice how
It
was on all over, you know, all the mainstream media? Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. They of course, they have egg on their face with this. After the Mossad had this botched operation, and it's botched because they have all the identities of these people, whether they're stolen or not. They have their photos. They have DNA. The Mossad, when they assassinate somebody like the Hamas guy in Dubai, they're not supposed to get caught. But these guys have been basically caught. But this Iranian operation went so smoothly, and in the process, they embarrassed Richard Holbrooke. So when you saw the meeting in Damascus between Lebanon's Hezbollah leader Nasrallah, President Assad, and President Ahmadinejad of Iran, they were all laughing and joking. Very odd for these kinds of people, but I think I know what the subject was. They must have been just laughing over how Holbrooke was left to look like an idiot, and in the process, Iran got a key CIA operative.
Wayne, you're certainly not insinuating that the Mossad had anything to do with this hit squad in Dubai, are you? I mean,
I would never, but I'll have to listen to what the commissioner of the Dubai Police Force says. He says he's 99%, if not 100% certain Mossad was behind it. So he sounds like he's got his ducks in a row. He claims to have DNA evidence to back that up. So we'll have to see what happens now with these fake passports. But Eddie, thanks for calling in from Cleveland. We've got a whole bunch of other callers on the line here ready to chime in. But thanks for calling in. Look, if you think things are getting bad, we were talking about earthquakes. This is just coming across the wire. A strong earthquake struck northwestern Argentina today. It was 6.3 on the Richter, on the 6.3 magnitude. I'm not sure if they actually use Richter anymore. They have some other scales, but it killed an 8-year-old boy and two other children. But this was 800 miles north northwest of the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires. So Chile this morning, Argentina today, before the Chilean quake, 7.0 in Okinawa. You tell me that this is normal. I'll tell you the USGS, if they even insinuate this is normal, they're absolutely wrong. They're lying again. It's a government agency. Don't believe anything they say. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Mike calling in from Kentucky. Mike, are you with us?
Yeah, up against a break here in a minute, I guess, but, you know, you started out talking about the basically the government lying to us, and I have to wonder, you know, a lot of times I think they lie to their own people to get them to go along with a lot of the stuff that's going on, cover stories or whatever that they tell, because, you know, there are some good people that work for the government and are in these, I guess you could say, clandestine services or whatever. I think you mentioned Jim Trafficant there a while back.
Oh, right. Well, Trafficant obviously running as an independent now for Congress.
Well,
from, Eastern
I would
Ohio.
Anybody that is interested in analyzing or criticizing Jim Trafficant for his views on the Jews needs to watch the movie Charlie Wilson's War. And I
right,
about fell off my couch when in the middle of that one.
Yeah, hold on, Mike. We have a short break, and we'll get right back to you right after this break. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report coming in from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the SAI Roundup. We're coming to you live this February 27th from Washington, D.C., and we're talking to Mike from Kentucky, and you were talking about Jim Trafficant. I think, to be fair to former Congressman Trafficant, his problem, and he said this many times, is with the power of the Israel lobby in Washington. And I would dare say that there's a number of Jewish people, people like Richard Falk and others, who would agree with him on the inordinate power that this lobby has through AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and others. But go ahead. You were completing your thought there.
The movie didn't do too well, so you can probably find it in the bargain bin anywhere from $3 to $6, you know, for a decent used copy of it. Charlie Wilson's War, right in the early in the movie, there's a scene on the DVD called Secret War.
Right.
And he's laying in the bathtub after his tryst with Julia Roberts' character, if you've seen the movie, you know,
right,
where I'm going
exactly.
To. He's laying there, and she's getting on to him about, if you expect your voters, your constituents, to reelect you. And he goes, I'm elected by Jews. And she goes, Charlie, how many Jews are in your district? You know, he's from Texas, a pro-gun district in Texas. And all he had to do to stay in Congress was to always be pro-gun. And nobody in his district wanted anything. So he was free to make all kinds of deals. And at least this is the way the story goes. I think Julia Roberts was an operative of Zionism, you know, herself. This movie kind of hints that there were people pulling her strings, her character's strings. He says there's seven Jews in my district, but congressmen aren't elected by voters. They're elected by contributors. And he says the Jews in Hollywood, New York, and California – Florida elected him.
And definitely you'll get people. There are people, Republicans, Democrats, whites, blacks, Asian Americans who serve in Congress that'll tell you the same thing, except they won't tell you in public. They will tell you in whispers, off in a corner somewhere, but that's definitely how it's done. I mean, this is how Cynthia McKinney was defeated in Georgia. That money was coming in from out of state, some of it from Atlanta, but a lot of it from out of state. Earl Hilliard, these are both African American Democrats who were opposed to U.S. policy in the Middle East. Earl Hilliard bounced out in Alabama and replaced with somebody who's much more pro-Israel. But
it's a wonderful revolving door, isn't it? Because they get all this foreign aid, whatever it is, depending on who you ask, $10 billion a year, $20 billion a year, and sweetheart military equipment deals and everything.
Right.
They can easily turn that back around into campaign contributions and lobbying and in front groups and stuff that they've got going on to do their social engineering and stuff.
And that's how it's done. You're right.
It's been going on for probably 170 years if you go back to when Napoleon lost and the bankers that took over the business district of London.
They've been
doing their social engineering ever since, because we just are hard to imagine how much wealth that they've got that they're pushing the Zionists.
Well, the one thing I wanted to mention this past week, of course, we had Bernanke basically commenting on or answering a question about whether Goldman Sachs played any kind of game in getting Greece, betting that Greece would default on its debt. And Bernanke said was, well, if that were to have happened, that would be counterproductive. Counterproductive? What about revolting, disgusting, illegal? You know, I mean, this guy, you know, he doesn't seem to think that destroying a country like Greece, he thinks it's, well, that's counterproductive. Counterproductive? What's the agenda there? But anyway, thanks for calling in, Mike. Did you have one more thought you wanted to?
The all these disasters and the end time scenario and stuff, I think there's obviously a whole raft of opinions on that. I would encourage some folks to look at preterism. But one thing that you can look at this and say is positive, believe it or not, is that our Earth is still geologically active. And that is positive when you look at other examples. Mars is not. And we need a magnetic field for the Earth. It needs to be geothermal, active. and our magnetic field is wandering a little bit, and they have documented that it is in decline. And this is what I was getting at with the first comment. Oh, there's a lot of layers and a lot of compartmentalization
right.
in the clandestine world. And, maybe there's something to all these jet contrails and chemtrails. I have to wonder if they're telling people either as a cover story or because it's actually happening, because they know for the last 50 years that the sun's heliosphere is shrinking, and that is causing the Earth to be bombarded with DNA-damaging cosmic rays. So just look at that. You know, that's a great cover story for getting the barium and the boron and the aluminum and stuff sprayed out by these open skies treaty planes that are overflying all of our allies' countries, you know. And
you're right, and I would hope that if there's anything going on, that the whistleblowers who I rely on to give me this information, the government would pass this kind of information on. But thanks for calling in, Mike. We've got some other folks on the line, and someone has asked that I talk about whether HARP, this high altitude advanced research project, HARP, has anything to do with the earthquakes. Look, I don't know. We do know that when he was Secretary of Defense, William Cohen talked about earthquake weapons. We know that George Orwell referred to them in 1984, and so much in that novel seems to be coming to pass. But again, if there is anything going on with that kind of R&D, I would hope that somebody in the government would reveal it. Look, you cannot have classified information when you know this information can result in the death of innocent people and destruction. That you can't, there is no way you can keep that classified. It's not only your right if you have possession of this kind of information, it's your duty to release it. It's your duty to release it as an American citizen, and if you don't, you shouldn't be a citizen of the United States. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because that is a kind of monumental thing. If the government's working on that, I don't care what it's classified. It can be top secret with 10,000 code words attached to it. It doesn't matter. It should be released to the public. It's not only the right of a person with the clearance and that access to that kind of information. It's their duty to release it. And anyway, I want to play this clip. This is what happened just hours before the earthquake in Chile. There was an earthquake off of Okinawa, 7.0, and I want you to hear something very interesting about how the magnitudes are changed sometimes. This gets to my point about USGS maybe fiddling with the numbers, if we can play this clip.
Okinawa apparently had a big earthquake about 50 miles from it, and Chad Myers is all over this thing. Everyone wants to know, Chad, is this going to cause a tsunami?
No. No watch and no warning in effect for all of the Pacific. Now, there probably will be a small tsunami, maybe 3 feet, for the people of Okinawa. That usually happens very close to the island that the earthquake happened. Now, this earthquake was a 7.3 initially. They've now reduced it to 7.0. This happens a lot where they reduce the numbers. Sometimes they have to raise it, but for the most part, they usually reduce it. There is the epicenter right there, 7.0 instead of 7.3, which means it was the same size as the Haiti quake, except it was 50 miles away from Okinawa and not only 10 miles away like it was for Haiti. And it was also 13 miles deep. 13 miles deep is deep enough that doesn't shake the bottom of the ocean enough to cause a big tsunami. And the 7.0 is a big quake if you're underneath it, but it's not really that much of a quake if to make a significant wave. So there's Okinawa. If the wave would come in, it would have been very fast, because at 50 miles away, and you're only talking about, 600 miles per hour of these waves, so all of these coastal areas would have been hit quite quickly, within 10 minutes. And so far, there are no reports of any damage there in Okinawa, and we don't expect any significant tsunami Pacific-wide there at a 7.0 quake.
Okay, so there you heard 7.0, you know, sometimes USGS cuts it down, they often do it, and you just wonder, where do you go for the right numbers? And hopefully somebody inside either USGS or the academic community will start citing these differences with these reports and tell us why. Why is there this leeway in these reports? Is somebody trying to understate these things to prevent any kind of panic. But I would say Okinawa, Chile, and Argentina in 2 days, in just 2 days, three major earthquakes, and after that terrible quake in Haiti, guess what? I'm not buying this. This is a natural thing anymore. And let's go to Marilyn, who's been holding on patiently from California. Marilyn, are you with us?
Yes, I just want to tell you, I agree with you. These just do not sound like natural earthquakes. And as far as HARP goes, you know, in a recent Chinese earthquake, there was lots of video of the auroral effects in the sky, the colors, which would certainly indicate there's some electromagnetic action going on.
That was reported also in Chile right before the earthquake.
Two people says, they said, oh, it was terrible. It kept going and going. Of course, that's not natural when it keeps going and going and going and going. I live in California. I've been through big earthquakes. They don't just keep going and going and going. You know, and plus, both of these people said, the first thing they said was, oh, and the sky was so weird. There was so many colors, you know. And so, I mean, hello. Now, yes. I don't know whether you've seen it, but I just saw this on one of my websites. There is a big earthquake that just hit Afghanistan a very short period of time ago. So I think these earthquake people that have got the handle on these really satanic weaponry are overshooting right now, or they're trying to cover something up, because that many earthquakes happening at one time, you know, I don't know how they're doing it. You know, I mean, I know they can use HARP and they can use extra low frequency waves. And, but, you know, I mean, we know how they do it, but how are you going to prove it, you know? But they could be overshooting, because I don't know whether they want this many earthquakes to happen in one day, unless they're trying to cover up for something else they're doing. That's what I always wonder about. Whether it's a financial hit, we know that they need money to fund these troops, and every time something happens, Clinton, Obama, and the two Bushes always come in with these funds you can give money to. So, I mean, they're big slush funds. Who knows where that money goes? And they always claim, it's for the poor victims. And these poor victims, man, they're just trying to do away with them. That money is definitely not going to them.
Oh, absolutely. And I would point out that with the talk about HARP and whatnot, earthquake, you know, this was something that Nikola Tesla came up with, this idea back at the turn of the century. Of course, a lot of his research papers were basically taken over by Thomas Edison, who was his erstwhile partner. And so who knows what happened to this? But we do know that William Cohen talked about this technology when he was Secretary of Defense back in the 90s, when he was SecDef under Bill Clinton. So who knows? I mean, I very rarely point to Hollywood movies, but there was a strange movie a few years ago called The Core, about the Defense Department producing this type of technology, and it caused all kinds of problems. So this science fiction, sometimes it turns out to be science fact.
I think they're far ahead of everything we're aware of, other than just, you know, people on the internet hear this stuff. I think they're so far ahead of us in terms of weather control, mind control. It would probably just blow our minds, and we probably don't. When you and I are probably under mind control right now, and don't even know it. You know, I mean, we're living in a world that just, who knows where it is. Now, I'm a Christian like these other guys. I think God predicted all this, but I think man is the one who's it's satanically inspired men that are doing it. I don't think you have to wonder about how it's happening, you know, even just because God knew it was going to happen. Let me just make one other comment about the weather here in California, San Francisco, where I live. I have never seen so many days with total clouds, no sun, no rain. We've had rain now, but mostly clouds. Why don't they let us see the sun anymore? Not seeing the sun for this long is a dramatic difference. I've never seen anything like it before. So I think that's something very odd, too. Very odd.
It's like all the snow here in Washington, and we've had these tremendous winds the last few days. Unbelievable winds, up to 50 plus miles an hour. Very, very unusual weather all over the place. Spain now getting hit with a what looks like it's a it's an out of season hurricane heading for Spain. So yes, there's a lot of things going on right now. But thanks for calling in, Marilyn, from California, and hope you see the sun out there sometime soon. I want to play this clip if we have time. I think we do, and this is a clip from Fox News, and it has to do with the swarms, earthquake swarms in Yellowstone and the caldera. And I want to play this real quick if we have this one lined up, ready to go.
Welcome back, everybody. You have emailed about this since yesterday. We promised it yesterday. We got cut off because of a mess on Capitol Hill. But it could be the world's most powerful natural weapon of mass destruction. Yellowstone National Park, we know it's beautiful. It's also home to one of the world's few supervolcanoes. If it erupts, scientists say it would be more powerful than 60 million atom bombs. It could wipe out up to 60% of human life on Earth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it gets better, including the entire U.S. continental United States. Here's the catch, though. There have been 500 small earthquakes in Yellowstone since the 26th of December. A signal possibly of a bigger, more devastating explosion may be to come. Dr. Michael Rampino, volcanologist from New York University. Nice to see you, Doctor. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
What do you see in all these little small earthquakes we've been noting since the day after Christmas?
Well, it certainly made us all sit up and take notice that something's going on in Yellowstone. It's known as a restless volcano. And people don't realize when they go to Yellowstone National Park that they're sitting inside the cauldron, the crater of a big supervolcano that's erupted a number of times in the past. Eruptions that are massive, hundreds to thousands of times the size of the Mount St. Helens eruptions of 1980.
Wow, not to age ourselves here, but what happened in Yellowstone 600,000 years ago?
Well, the whole park would have been area would have been devastated. Where eruption magma coming out of the volcano ash being blasted up into the atmosphere, devastation out to tens of miles or more from the volcano itself, and hundreds of miles of ash fallout, a blizzard of volcanic ash falling out over the central United States. The breadbasket of the United States, so you might expect that agriculture, if this thing happens again, that agriculture in the United States would be in serious trouble.
Now, Doctor, is this realistic? Are we just scaring people out there? I mean, because people are right in there thinking we're talking about Armageddon here.
Well, the probability of it happening in any particular year is very small, but we know it's happened in the past, and Yellowstone tends to go off in these large supervolcanic eruptions, and they've gone off about once every 600,000 years. The last one was 600,000 years ago.
Well, there you go. You heard it. You heard it right there. 600,000 years ago, and we're due. Will the caldera go off? And we'll be right back with calderas, earthquakes, tsunamis, right after this break. This is Wayne Massman from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Massen with the Wayne Massen Report. We're coming to you this live this February 27th from Washington, D.C., and we've been talking about the sudden spate of earthquakes around the globe. Two today in South America, 8.8 in Chile, 6.3 in Argentina. Both were strong enough to have, well, the 8.8 may have killed at least over 200 people. That may go higher. A few others were killed in the earthquake in Argentina. Later on in the day, earthquake a few hours before Chile off of Okinawa. Tsunami warnings posted all over the Pacific Ocean. So far, we only know about one devastating tsunami wave, 130 feet. High hit the Juan Fernandez Island off of Chile, but there's been no report of any damage in other islands, the Galapagos, Easter Island. The wave did pass through the French Polynesian Islands. No reports of any damage there, so it seems to have dissipated. However, we're being told that when it gets into shallower water on the other side of the Pacific, around Japan and the Philippines, and Okinawa, Taiwan, those places are not totally out of the woods yet. So there's a possibility that there could be some problems there. We do know there was some damage related to the tsunami on Ventura Beach in Southern California, and they were keeping their fingers crossed that it wasn't going to do any further damage up the coast towards Santa Barbara and places further north. But anyway, I think what we're seeing here, there's a lot more of these quakes now that there's been in the past. We had the devastating quake in Haiti that, you know, happened over 200 years ago, the last time there was one there, the Caribbean. And here's the big one, the Cumbre Vieja volcano in the Canary Islands. If the west slope of that volcano slides into the Atlantic Ocean, the predictions are it will cause a massive tsunami that will be heading at very fast speed towards the east coast of the United States. Yep, New York, Boston, up the Chesapeake, Washington, D.C., where we're broadcasting from, Miami, and all those other coastal cities would be put at risk. With all this activity going on around the planet, we have to keep our fingers crossed that Cumbre Vieja doesn't make its big slide, because we may be seeing worse things than we're seeing right now out of Santiago, Chile. Definitely, if you go to the USGS website, even though I think they're playing with the numbers, you're going to see just a phenomenal number of moderate to devastating earthquakes in the last few years. We know about the tsunami, the earthquake tsunami in the Indian Ocean, killed over 250,000 people. We're just seeing a big increase in these, and whether it's something going on with the Defense Department experimentation or weaponry, or it's just a natural cycle, or it's something, the planet's in some sort of cycle that may be contributing to climate change, whether that's a hybrid, man-made, natural occurrence. I think we need to do our homework, because I don't think we can trust the mainstream media, nor can we trust the government to tell us the truth. We're going to have to do this ourselves, folks, because the information is out there. And as I said, if people within the government, these agencies in the government, know anything, I say, even if it's classified, it's not only their right, but it's their duty to let their fellow Americans, fellow humans around the world, to know what's going on. This kind of thing should never have happened. This is not what the principles this country was founded on. This country was founded on openness and not keeping these kinds of secrets. If these vampires and vipers that we see causing economies to collapse in Greece and Spain and Iceland and Portugal, apparently George Soros and his gang is shorting the British pound. They tried that. He tried it with his buddies back in the early 90s. Apparently they're doing it again. So we have to be careful of the natural earthquakes and, of course, the man-made, banker-made financial earthquakes. And you put those two together, and I think we're in for rough sailing here in many, many respects. But I think it's one thing to cover up things like U.S. support for terrorist groups and undercutting economies. But if they're playing around with technology, the Tesla technology and what William Cohen talked about, I think that is going way too far, and we need to put a stop to it before we all wind up gone. Anyway, thanks for joining us. This is Wayne Massey with the Wayne Massey Report, and we'll be back with you this time next week, right here at RBN. Thanks for joining us this evening.